You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm here with John Kirkwood, pastor of Grace Gospel Fellowship Church in Bensonville, Illinois. And we're excited to have, after being delayed a few weeks, our friend John Stemberger from the Florida Family Policy Council. John, are you on the line?
Peter, it's great to be with you.
Well, I'll tell you what, John. I've admired you from afar for a long time before we ever met. This guy is an amazingly accomplished individual within the pro-family movement. Now he's taken on the added task of leading this On My Honor. We don't know what the group is going to be called, but basically it's the alternative to the Boy Scouts of America, which, as most pro-family people know, sort of sold their soul on homosexuality by taking a vote to allow open homosexuals in the Boy Scouts. But John has done so much more than that. He led the pro natural marriage referendum in Florida in 2008. It was victorious. We're going to talk with him about that. We're going to have two segments with John, and we're excited about that because I think he's one of the most effective people in the pro-family movement. And but before I do that, I want to say John Kirkwood here in the studio. We're happy to have learned that we're going to be able to have Sandy Rios as our banquet speaker. I believe that's going to be early November. We'll keep you apprised of the details. Sandy is a wonderful pro-family spokeswoman, and she works for Fox News and AFA. But John, welcome to our show.
Thanks. It's great to be with you.
Well, tell me first a little bit about your family. You grew up in Florida, and give us just a short, quick background of yourself.
Well, I've been married to 18 years to my wife, Olivia. I have four small children under the age of 12, and I just turned 50, so the three-year-old, I did the math on that, and it's not a good economic projection at all.
You hit the big 5-0, huh?
Right. Beyond family, I have a very small law practice, but I spend most of my time running the Florida Family Policy Council, which is probably one of the premier pro-life, pro-family, pro-marriage organizations in Florida. I'm also very involved with scouting as a young man, and how I got embroiled in this whole thing is that I actually know the National Commissioner, Tico Perez, personally. I grew up with him in scouting. He was the lodge before I ran for lodge chief in the Order of the Arrow. And so he's a fellow lawyer in town, and so a year ago he assured me that the policy was going to change, and that they had it locked down, and they announced after a two-year study that it was the absolute best policy for the Boy Scouts. And it was with great shock that then, you know, just 6 months later, I'm in Naples and I read at my phone that NBC News is breaking their open debate back up. And I just felt that I was the right person to lead a nationwide campaign to try to prevent the Boy Scouts from making the change.
And you were an Eagle Scout?
Yes, Eagle Scout, former Scoutmaster. I have two sons in the program as well. Vigilant, a member of the Order of the Arrow. Had, an investment in the program. Other than my faith and my family, scouting has had the most significant influence on me, and it's just walked through my home and office, and I've got framed Norman Rockwell prints that are Boy Scout prints, and I just, mm-hmm. I'm just short of just having to weep, just looking at them. It's just so sad what they've done. And it's really, principally speaking, they've caved on principle. They have allowed politics and polls and, you know, profit to overcome their own principles. They didn't have the guts to stand up for what they believed in.
I'm glad you mentioned profit, John. How big a role did the money play in this?
It's hard to say. This summit that they had the national jamboree at is, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in debt. I don't know how that's going to be resolved. Frankly, their own estimates show they're going to lose $30 million if they made the change. So it didn't make any sense economically. Their own projections show they would lose between 400 to 600,000 boys in the program. That does not include adults or, chartering partners. So it made no sense from an economic standpoint. I just think they had a lust for acceptance amongst cultural elites, and because of that, wanting that to be accepted, they just caved.
John, I think you're absolutely right. I think sometimes I tend to think, well, it was the corporations, and of course they were pressured by high-powered corporations who in turn were manipulated by very savvy homosexual activists. But I think you're right, the political correctness, the push to be accepted, we see that everywhere. I'm working on a report on the pro-gay bias at Fox News. Believe it or not, almost every on-air personality at Fox News now is on the record as pro-gay. There are a few exceptions like Gretchen in the Morning and Sandy Rios and, of course, Mike Huckabee. But it's astonishing to see how even Fox News has bended to this homosexual activist agenda. And I think that people just feel like, wow, I can't stand against this juggernaut.
It is unfortunate. But so when we lost that battle, it was a four-month battle. I raised quite a bit of money, and we networked tens of thousands of parents and scoutmasters and Eagle Scouts around the country. What I didn't realize is that there would be people looking at me saying, okay, we're out. We're done with scouting. What do we do next? Mm-hmm. And so we gathered coalitions around the country of people that were also concerned and were leaving the program. We met in Louisville last month, and basically, in a kind of a confidential meeting with national denominational leaders and national pro family organizations and decorated scoutmasters from around the country, we forged out a direction for the future, and we think it's very bright and very promising.
John, have you been in contact with the, I know there's other small groups that are youth organizations for boys. Have you been in contact with them? Were they part of your meeting?
Not really. There's great groups like Royal Rangers and Calvinist Cadets, but most of them are restricted to just the denominations of the church tradition that they're within. We're trying to create a wider movement that would embrace any Orthodox Christian, Protestant or Catholic or Orthodox Christian that could subscribe to the statement of faith that adult leaders have to sign. So we're not really, the anti-Boy Scout. We're just creating a void. I mean, there's a huge void created. There's tens of thousands of kids that are leaving with their families, and they have nowhere to go because they're not going to tolerate. I mean, look, the BSA, when they put the safety and security of my boys at risk, when they're going to allow openly gay boys to camp and tent with other boys, they know that this is going to increase sexual abuse amongst the young people, and it's going to result in further public scandal, not to mention the tragedy of the physical, sexual, and psychological abuse that will occur to other kids. And they turned a blind eye to it. There was no risk analysis done whatsoever in the decision on this matter.
Yeah, John, it's really a tragedy. Now tell me, you obviously are a compassionate Christian man. If there's a boy who happens to be struggling with sexual issues, you guys want to shore up that boy. However, unlike the Scouts, you will not allow effectively a homosexual activist when you have a boy who considers himself, quote, gay. What is the exact wording? What's the policy going to be on this new organization that you're forming?
Well, folks can read it online after this program at onmyhonor.net under membership standards. It'll be a very specific statement that clears this up. There were some statements that were made that were a little bit careless during the press conference and just trying to respond in the heat of the moment. But basically, regarding any sexual immorality, first of all, the differences are, number one, we will allow only biologically male children under the age of 18. So there's not going to be any of this transgender business where folks are subjectively feeling like a girl feels like she wants to act out as a boy.
So little Johnny wants to come to your group and address, ain't going to happen.
Exactly. So that's the first difference. Second difference is that the adult leaders in this program will be specifically Christian and will be men of sound character. They will subscribe to a statement of faith and an oath and a creed, which is being developed. As for the young people, though, we want to allow any young person, irrespective of religion or race or what have you, or socioeconomic status, to enter the program. So our goal is to, much the same ways that many Jewish families put their kids in Christian schools because they know it's a quality program, they know they're going to get taught values, and they know they're going to get a solid moral foundation, and that's what parents can expect in this new program. And look, we're unapologetically, our values reflect from the Christian faith. It's Scouting can't tell you what morally straight means, nor where that emanates from. And we're very clear that ethics and morals standards are found in the Scripture. And it's an objective standard for what we believe. And basically, we're affirming that any sexual activity outside the context of the covenant of marriage between one man and one woman is sinful before God and is therefore inappropriate and consistent with the values and principles of the program.
Right.
So
I saw a piece by Matt Barber, where who I guess went to the Louisville meeting. Matt Barber, who's on the board of Americans for Truth, great guy. We just interviewed him, and I like this. Maybe he's reading from one of the documents there. He said the new organization's membership policy will focus on sexual purity rather than so-called sexual orientation.
That's exactly correct. I mean, and we're not, our specific membership policy. We are not going to grant membership to adults or youth who engage in or promote any form of sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that includes, you know, if there's an adult scoutmaster having an affair, yeah, if it's known, it's not going to happen. I mean, he's going to have to step down from leadership until it's new.
Yeah.
But it's just a bad example for the kids.
So, John, when you were a scoutmaster, if you had a scout that was openly boasting at meetings about his success and advances with his girlfriend, that you would have put a kibosh on that too, possibly with a warning of expulsion. Is that not correct?
Utterly inappropriate.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's just not the place for this. Well, parents want a program that can feel safe, put their kids in, and that they know they're going to be consistent in the morals and the values. And we're not looking, unlike in scouting now, where you're going to have open and avowed boys up to the age of 17 from a local GLAD club in the high school coming in for whatever reasons to recruit or what have you, or to be placed in a lawsuit. I mean, one of my sons understands homosexuality, the other one doesn't. And that's my call as a parent.
Yeah.
Because one is more astute than is appropriate. Now, I don't want the topics being brought up around a campfire, but yet that's exactly what the BSA is inviting with its new policy. And
yeah.
Exactly what the new program that we're developing for boys will not tolerate.
And, of course, the reason we're particular about the language is we all know the history, and, John, you know it as well as anybody, that there's an incrementalist sort of approach that our opponents use. Foot in the door, oh, it's just my identity, gay, you know, we want to, they call it discrimination, etc. But what it always devolves into is advocacy for homosexuality and then later transgenderism. Just look right now, you see the transgender activists lobbying heavily to allow open transgenderism in the military. You know, there's an incrementalist history here to the movement, and obviously you have compassion, you want to help boys, but what we're always trying to prevent is this sort of activist, the growth of gay activism within any organization.
Right. And just let me go to the elephant in the room here, just to be crystal clear. If there is a young man who we find out or confesses to a leader, you know, in the context of this, these are Christian men, that they have a same-sex attraction, we will deal with that as a ministry issue. We will point them to the Scripture, point them to the standard of our membership of and to the Scripture, and to help them through that. However, we will not tolerate under any circumstances any kind of flaunting, any kind of outward loud and proud nonsense, all of that encompasses gay activism, the promotion of the gay agenda, will absolutely not be tolerated in the program. And that's a huge difference, because
yeah.
The BSA will have that. That's exactly what they're inviting when they allow open and avowed youth.
That's why you fought so hard, John. And you will you be the general counsel for this organization as well, or what's your role going to be specifically?
Currently, I'm the chairman of the board. We do have a board of directors. It's an operational board. Eventually, we'll have a governing board. But we have, you know, dozens and dozens of scoutmasters who are working behind the scenes every night in committees, forming a new program, a parallel program. Scouts will be able to transfer directly over to it if they're whatever rank they're at. And so it will be much different than the Boy Scouts, but there will be a lot of similarities as well. And so that's all going to be revealed. We have a national convention September 6th and 7th in Nashville, Tennessee, where we'll reveal the name, the logo, and the branding for the organization. We're very excited about that. Folks can get more information at onmyhonor.net about that.
What was the date on that, John?
September 6th and 7th. That's a Friday and Saturday in Nashville, Tennessee. And the website, again, is onmyhonor.net.
Well, John, we're going to come at you back after the break. But again, folks, this is onmyhonor.net. You can find out more about this exciting new organization, which gives an alternative to the Boy Scouts who sold out on this issue of sexual morality. We'll be right back with John Stenberger.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, folks, to the After Radio Hour. We're here with John Stenberger, who is the President and General Counsel of the Florida Family Policy Foundation, and he's also in a leadership role. The lead role with a group called right now the website is onmyhonor.net. The name will be forthcoming. This is the alternative. This is the preeminent alternative to the Boy Scouts of America, which sold out to the chagrin of many pro-family activists like myself who'd worked with them for a long time trying to prevent the day when they would sell out on the homosexual issue, but they ultimately did. And we commend John for his leadership role in starting this new organization. John, I want to back up just a little bit. Okay, you read about the Boy Scout decision, or leading up to that vote. Did you think you were in a leadership role in winning that vote at the Boy Scouts? Did you think you had a chance, or was there a time when you said, "Wait a minute, this is not going to happen"? How did that whole thing go down?
Yeah, that's a great question. I went into the whole thing blind, thinking this is a long shot, but we owe it to 103 years of Scouts that went before us to really try to rescue this program from its own devices. And so we raised about $150,000, gave it our best shot. The biggest problem was is that it's funny because the executives, the paid professionals, they bragged that they didn't have a vote. Well, they voted in spades because they picked the delegates, unilaterally picked the delegates. And so that was the whole problem. It was not decentralized leadership. It wasn't each unit sending a delegate. If it was, the thing would have never passed. Because rank-and-file scouting people on the ground, they understand why this is complex. Look, in our own troop, we just had a disciplinary meeting with a kid on some issue where he was physically aggressive, a scout, and the scoutmaster just exhausted said, you know what, I spend most of my time just dealing with issues between boys. Mm-hmm. The conflicts between parents and personalities and all that. And so we're going to pour open homosexuality on top of that? I mean, scoutmasters get this. They understand the safety and security issues. They understand the dynamic of, what scouting needs to be about. And so rank and file was completely against this.
So are you saying it was kind of a rigged vote, or was it just unfair?
No, it was just that the executives and National basically made it clear, this is the direction we're going. Okay, you're a paid professional. Mm-hmm. Now you pick the delegates. This is the direction we're going. Mm-hmm. So obviously they're going to pick people that are ideologically friendly. They're not going to put it up for a vote or let someone else pick it. And so they claimed all the delegates were pre-selected. They were not. And the biggest thing is that we could not communicate with the delegates. They wouldn't let us know who they were. So we were flying in the dark with a public campaign,
wow,
hoping that folks would just read newspapers. Now, toward the end, there was a statute that was discovered in Texas where if you're like a shareholder in a corporation, you're entitled to know who the other people are that are going to take place in the vote. And so we invoked that to actually get the addresses and the emails, but it was less than a week out from the vote. So we did get to email some information and send a packet of information, but it's just not even sure how effective it was because it was at the very last moment.
Looking back, John, at what happened, the real problem wasn't the vote. The real problem was the takeover of the board. What are you putting in place to secure this new organization? from something like that? I know the second law of thermodynamics affects every organization, but what are you going to do to safeguard this board? And where do you think the failure was with the Boy Scouts in regard to the board?
Great question, and we did look at this question extensively because we wanted to make sure we did not repeat history. I think there's primarily two big things. Number one, the professionals have hijacked the organization. Mm-hmm. They've completely hijacked it. It's no longer volunteer run. It is run by the paid staff. And so it's kind of a group think there, because if you don't think the right way, you may not have a job. And they made that pretty clear to people around the country that it was dissenting. So number one, we have decentralized decision-making in what we're doing. We're going to have every unit make the decision, number one. And number two, there's going to be a super majority. So if you're going to change some fundamental thing in our membership standards or what we believe in our oath or creed, we're going to have to be a significant three-fourths of a majority. So apart from the rapturing happening and everybody being taken out, it's going to be really hard to change the fundamental things that we're setting into place here. The second issue is that they did not have clearly defined values. So unfortunately, when Baden-Powell started, we all knew what morally straight meant, but they couldn't answer the question because they didn't have an objective standard for it. I had one of the chief leaders in scouting sit across from me at dinner saying, "Oh, come on, John, a gay guy can be morally straight. He can be ethical." And so, you know, they just, words mean nothing anymore with a deconstructionist philosophy. So we're very clearly delineating values specifically and enumerating them so that there's crystal clear and there's no way to get around it.
John, what about, say, a Jewish kid or a Muslim kid wants to join? Is it sort of like when those people of other faiths go to like a Catholic school, even though they're not Catholic, will they be welcome?
Yes, all boys, irrespective of their religion, their race, their national origin, or their socioeconomic status, will be welcome. Now, the adults have a much higher standard. The adults are going to be screened by the local chartering partners, and they will own and operate the local groups. They will have great discretion in selecting the leaders. They can even have parameters that are a little bit tighter than ours if they want to.
Yeah.
And also the leaders have to assign and abide by a statement of faith and the oath and the creed of the program, which the young people do not.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be a higher standard for the adults.
Yeah, and we were talking about that off the air, and I was thinking about this whole thing that you're dealing with now, and it seems to me, John, see if you agree, that you do have a higher standard in this case for the adults, in this sense. Remember the Catholic Church scandal. Secretly homosexual men, did tremendous, untold damage to the reputation of the Catholic Church by their predations within that organization. These were not out and proud homosexuals. These were secretly homosexual men. So it seems to me when you have a youth organization like this with boys, you have to find ways to see if a man has a weakness in that area, because if he has a weakness in that area, he can cause problems. As opposed to the young people, if there is a young person, and like you said, John, you described it very well, who admits that they have these struggles, I mean, that is a ministry issue. But organizations, one after the other, including the Catholic Church and other churches and schools, we see the sort of struggling homosexual, or who knows, you know, how he describes himself, but these problems are caused by the secretive homosexuality leading to predations.
Well, that's right. And we will have a very strict child protection policy where no adult will be alone with any child at any time in the program, and that would be basis for immediate removal if we ever find an adult with another kid anywhere, even at a Starbucks, even off campus, off the time of the program. It won't be tolerated. And so unless it's your child, there will never, ever be an adult alone with a boy in the program by himself without another adult present for accountability. So it's going to be a two-deep leadership policy at all times, and no adult alone with a child unless it's your child.
Do you expect that homosexual activists will target your organization from the get-go?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be harder for them to do that. I suppose it's possible for the sake of litigation. I don't think for any kind of an ideological reason. They're going to know we're solid. And so I think they'll probably, a couple will show up at our convention, take notes and blog or whatever. But I don't see it happening. You know, you never know with these folks how aggressive they're going to be. I think they've got more battles on their hands than this. At least we haven't seen that happen in the other organizations that are like the American Heritage Girls and others. But we'll see. I mean, we're a target because of just the way we're being formed and in my leadership. And so we hope that won't happen. And I think it's a pretty low chance, but we'll be ready for it.
And John, what's the sense of the leaders you were working with for with the new organization as to where the Boy Scouts vis-a-vis this new organization, how it's going to play out? Do people see the Boy Scouts numbers falling rapidly and yours growing rapidly, or what's the sense?
Well, I don't know what's going on with the BSA. All I know is what their own estimates show, that 400,000 to 600,000 young people will leave as a result of the decision. But we're certainly, we've been contacted independently by 30,000 separate people.
Wow.
Saying, hey, we want to be involved. So this is going to be a significant movement. It will take us some time to get off the ground. The second shoe that's going to drop, Peter, is when the BSA allows adult gays in the program.
I was just going to say that's going to be the second exit.
Yeah, and you're an attorney. When's that going to happen, John? They can't stop that, can they?
Guaranteed within 2 years. They've lost the protection of BSA versus Dale under the U.S. Supreme Court because they've now not indicated that homosexuality is inconsistent with the moral oath and creed of the program. And all it's going to take is when that 17-year-old boy, who's a quote-unquote openly gay Eagle Scout, then turns 18 and he says, I want to be a leader, and they say, you can't be, and he gets removed from the program, that boy becomes a plaintiff in a lawsuit in a non-discrimination law in some state on an equal protection challenge under the U.S. Constitution, and within 2 years you'll have a judge ordering the BSA, change your policy, you have no rational basis for the difference, and the whole thing will blow up.
Well,
the court told us we had to do it.
We're talking, we're operating under the assumption here that they're going to want to fight it. I don't think they will. As a matter of fact, I think if they thought they could have gotten it this time, they would have done it.
Yeah.
Personally, to me, it's a lot like the Obamacare situation. They wanted single payer. They took what they could get, hoping they'll get single payer down the line. I actually think they're not going to fight it too hard, in my opinion. But there will be maybe even greater consequences when that second shoe drops, John, with the Mormons and some of the Catholic churches that have stayed with them, because even the Mormon church won't be able to justify that second position.
That's right. I think that's exactly right. Catholics are really given the benefit of the doubt. I mean, if you strictly read what they said, there's a way, wiggle room, you can figure out why it's still, you know, that they can regulate behavior and conduct, which is, you know, inconsistent with the mission, that kind of thing. But the bottom line is, we're already seeing it happen. I mean, just in Salt Lake City, Utah, we had a scoutmaster leading, openly gay scoutmaster leading his troop in a gay pride parade just a week after the vote. And that's not even, the policy hasn't even been in effect yet. It doesn't affect January 1.
Yeah. And in San Francisco, the Girl Scouts for the first time marched in the San Francisco Gay Pride Parade. And folks, that is one of the most incredibly evil pride parades in the world. They have a huge sadomasochist contingent. So how odd that the Girl Scouts would be marching in the same parade with avowed perverts, you know, these people championing sadism and masochism and such. John, it's just, it's awful. But could you back up for 1 second and give on that Dale decision, the Boy Scouts did not have, they had been protected by the Supreme Court. They gave that all up with what they did here.
Right. They were not a religious organization, so they didn't have First Amendment freedom of religion, but they did have right of association under the First Amendment, which is not as powerful as freedom of religion, but it still is a powerful principle. And the Supreme Court said, as long as your mission is to inculcate morals and values, and you believe that homosexuality is inconsistent with that mission, and that's what they argued in Dale, that's what the Boy Scouts argued. The problem is today, they're not willing to argue it with a straight face.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just rolling over, and they're not, they don't have the protection anymore. So basically, if somebody sues them, they can't say, oh, well, we have this protection.
Right. Now, as opposed to your organization, is qualified, is identified as a religious organization?
That's correct. We are expressly a Christian organization.
Now, can you also give a word of advice to anybody like me or John who's got a church or a group? Don't we all have to tighten up our charters now and explicitly say that we are Christian or whatever the religion is? These are explicit biblical values. These are our attitudes, our beliefs about sex and morality and marriage, etc., to protect ourselves?
Well, there's some nuances that one could take, and I'm not able to give kind of blanket legal advice without a specific set of facts, but clearly any church still has robust protection. The court would look to make sure it is a church, and they would look at the totality of the circumstances of what you're doing. You know, groups like the Salvation Army may struggle a little bit, but even them, they're solidly faith-based. And so, you know, as long as it's clear that you're a religious organization, you invoke the power of the First Amendment, solid core protection of freedom of religion, which is the highest protection that we have. Even though it's being eroded, it's the highest protection we have under the
U.S. Yeah, I was going to ask you, are you bullish on it remaining a strong protection for us, or do you think it's slowly going to start petering away, our First Amendment religious right to freedom of conscience?
That's a great question. I mean, it's really a political question, because the future of the court is the future of American politics. I mean, things are no longer self-evident. There's no longer this body of truth that judges normally abide by. Everything's up for grabs. The most basic presuppositions of human existence are now everything's up for grabs, and the ideology has reached the highest court of the land. So, I don't know. I mean, right now it's good, it's solid, and the First Amendment is what it is. It's not going to be amended, but if words mean nothing, then it really doesn't matter what the Constitution says. That's the real problem, is this deconstructionist subjective mentality, where if man can mean woman and, you know, life means death and is means whatever it is, you know, sex can mean whatever you want it to mean, then it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, John, we thank you so much for this time. We'll be back for part two. I want to talk to John about his fight to protect marriage, some of the other things he's been involved with, John. But thank you for the time. The website is onmyhonor.net. John's Florida organization is FL Family. That's the Florida Family Policy Organization, flfamily.org. John, we'll talk to you next time.
Great. Thank you.
God bless.